Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, good old reliable number 33, Jim Hobgood. We take you behind the scenes and sound bites to take a closer look at Wahoos that make the UVA sports program a success. And lately, the Hoos are still on quite a roll. The Hoos are currently in third place in the ACC. Jim and I will cover the latest basketball news and a variety of other topics this evening. As always, we're glad that you've joined us.
This is the old reliable 33, otherwise known as Jim slash Hobbo. We have a big show lined up for you tonight. We're delighted to have former UVA three-point marksman Curtis Staples as one of our guests tonight. He'll be joining us shortly to talk a little basketball, both from his days as a Wahoo and the current edition of the Hoos. In addition, the Supers recruiting Sabres recruiting analyst Chris Horn will join us later in the show to talk about national signing day from the standpoint of college football. And now Frank will tell us how one can stay in touch with Who's Talking.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage you to send questions and comments via email to Who's Talking and sportsradio910.com, or as always, you can call into 345-0910. Our shows are all archived on thesaber.com. Just go to our landing page and click on the segment that you'd like to listen to. We've also set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome, and we do integrate those questions into our program.
Well, fans, it's been an interesting week for Virginia basketball. Last Thursday evening, a devastating loss to the Virginia Tech Hokies, up 10 with 3:02 to play. The Hoos did not find a way to get the W there, losing in overtime, even after the heroic shot by Sammy Zaglinski to send it into overtime. But then showing a lot of character, and hats off to Tony Bennett for having his team ready to play in Chapel Hill. They go down to Chapel Hill on Sunday night following the Thursday loss, play absolutely a great game, beat the Tar Heels by 15 points in Chapel Hill, only the sixth win ever by Virginia in Chapel Hill, and by the largest margin ever. So Virginia now stands at 13-6 overall, 4-2 in the ACC, tied for second. And joining us, we do have Curtis on the line. So Curtis will join us after Frank gives a brief introduction.
Well, Curtis Staples wore number 5 as a basketball player at UVA. He played from 1995 to 1998. He was one of the top three-point shooters in NCAA Division I basketball history. At one time, I believe his statistic was 413 made threes, which stood up for almost, I believe, 9 years prior to J.J. Redick passing him. It's interesting, both players grew up in Southwest Virginia, and kind of hard to believe that two good old Virginia boys would be such outstanding shooters. In addition to being Virginia's career leader in three-point field goals made, Curtis holds the UVA records for three-point field goals made in a season with 130 and in a game 9. He also holds Virginia's records for most three-point field goals made by a senior, which is 130, also as a junior and a sophomore, and as a first year. He led the ACC in three-point field goals made per game during each of his 4 seasons at UVA. He currently ranks 10th on the Cavaliers' career scoring list with 1,757 points. It is fair to say that Curtis is probably the most deadly shooter to put on the uniform, even though my esteemed co-host was a pretty darn good shooter in his day.
Well, you know, Curtis, that's true. This is Jim Hobgood. It probably is fortunate for you they didn't have the three-point line when I played, or else you never know what those what those numbers might be. But, Curtis, we really appreciate your joining us tonight. What is it about Roanoke, Virginia, that leads one to be a terrific perimeter shooter? Well, at any rate, I think we have a technical problem, may have lost Curtis temporarily, so we'll get back to that question momentarily. Let's get back while we try to get Curtis back on the line. Just talk about the game in Chapel Hill, Frank. Your assessment particularly of Sylvan Landisberg's play down there.
Well, certainly Landisberg was named ACC Player of the Week. He racked up 29 points, 11 of 18 shooting, deadly from the free throw line as well. And generally just was the star of the game, although our good buddy Sammy Zaglinski had a career high with 19 points. And I know that Sammy's four or five bombs that he made from three-point land had to make Curtis Staples pretty happy.
Yeah, he was 5 of 8 in the game, several of which were key moments in the game, one of which came late to kind of seal the thing down the stretch and made a big three during that 18-0 run early in the second half. That really gave Virginia the opportunity to build that lead. We may have Curtis, or do we have you back on the line now?
Yes.
All right, Curtis Staples. Curtis, we were talking earlier about your three-point prowess and so forth. Started to ask you about Roanoke, Virginia. You and J.J. Redick, both from that area, must have a lot of baskets down there that one can practice at down in the Roanoke area. How do you explain the proficiency of three-point shooters from that part of Virginia?
You know, that's kind of funny you say that. I mean, I would have never thought that. I guess the best shooters, not only just in the state, but pretty much in the whole world, come from Roanoke, Virginia. When you look at the record books, but we've had a lot of good shooters that have come through Roanoke. Outside of myself and J.J. Redick, you know, you look back at the days of Richard Morgan and, you know, definitely J.R. Reynolds, and even as far back as Doug Day, who played at Radford. It's just been some great shooters from that area.
Yeah, you mentioned J.R. Reynolds was one of my favorite players at Virginia. What a terrific young man and great player he was. Your assessment of this year's team, you know, Tony Bennett's done a terrific job. How do you explain the success to date?
You know, to me, it's more so of discipline. I mean, I look at the team and I see how, for the most part, they've been pretty disciplined. And I think you can attribute that to Coach Bennett's, you know, his ways that he's implementing to the players. And they've definitely accepted it with open arms. And that's just a sign of a good coach.
Yeah, I talk a lot about if you make free throws at a high percentage, you limit your turnovers, you rebound the basketball and play some defense, you got a chance to win in most games, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. That or everything you said is going to put some W's on your list. So hopefully they'll continue to do that. And they still got a little stretch to go here the rest of this month. I would love to see. Well, I would hope that they could pull off some more great wins this month, because this is where it really counts going into March.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, Sylvan Landisberg had a terrific game in Chapel Hill on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And he, like you were, is kind of a marked man where other teams are trying to gear their defense to stop him. How does he manage to continue to have the success, given that everybody's trying to stop him from getting to the basket and scoring?
Well, I think the key to that is having somebody else out there, like Virginia's had, and especially against Carolina, other players actually making some plays. When you get other guys starting to make plays, like Sammy made a couple. I mean, he hit a couple really big threes in that game, and you know, it kind of opens it up for that marked player, like you were saying. It's just you just got to stay active, keep moving, and even if you are marked out on the floor, if you keep moving all the time, eventually they're going to get tired of guarding you, and they'll slip up, and you'll be able to mark. You'll be able to just, you know, eventually get your shot off.
Is that how you managed to do it?
Oh, yeah. I always said I'm going to outrun you the whole game. So if you want to check, if you want to put two guys on me, that means we'll have somebody open, plus one of your guys will be so tired that, you know, I'm going to eventually get three or four of them open, and I'm going to make most of them.
Yeah, I must admit, your last 2 years I was doing the radio, and you did run off an awful lot of picks, so you had to be in pretty good shape. And the amazing thing about that, you know, when you run that much to get open, you still have to have your legs in order to get up, elevate, take the shot normally, and be able to execute the jump shot.
It's an art to it. You have to know how to actually pace yourself at times throughout the game. Whenever there's timeouts, whenever there's stoppage, you have to take your rest times at that point. But, you know, majority of that success comes from off-season training, where you just stay in shape and just get ready for a lot of running the whole season.
Now, what I always did, I paced myself on the defensive end, but I'm not sure that would go over real well with Tony Bennett.
No, you don't want to do that. Yeah, that'll pace you right over to the bench.
You know, the other thing that always amazed me about you, Curtis, was the quick release that you had, and I think a lot of that's out of necessity when you got guys coming at you. But where did you learn to get the shot off as quickly as you did?
I'll tell you, that comes from growing up playing with people who were 7, 8 years older than me. They were a lot taller, and I had to get the shot off before they blocked it. So, you know, as a kid growing up, I played with so many older people all the time. And, you know, before my growth spurt hit, I had to get it away from them. But the great part about it was when I started growing, I still had that quick release. So it worked out great for me.
You know, just going back to your career for a moment, you had kind of an interesting tenure at Virginia. Your freshman year was the 95 season where you go to the regional final. The next year, not quite as good, and then your junior year, back to the NCAA tournament, and then your last year, kind of a disappointing season. How was it to go through an up-and-down career from a team standpoint?
Yeah, it was difficult at times, but you know, you just have to keep on going and not get discouraged. I mean, you never know what's going to happen from year to year, and when you lose players like we did, especially after that 95 season, we had a great team. We were probably one of the most talented teams in the conference, and you know, you go from that losing a lot of key players, and it's just important that you hope that all the other players work as hard as you work on the off season, because that's where you get better. And you know, it was a roller coaster, but I still enjoyed it, and you know, we still did a lot of great things while I was there.
Curtis, we got a couple of minutes here before we may let you go and go to break, but just what are some of your best memories of your days as a player at Virginia?
Well, there's so many of them, but you know, definitely there was a game. I would say one of them was the Carolina, one was the Duke game. Well, the Duke game in particular, we were down by 25 at halftime. I spent 95 to them, and we came back and beat them in double overtime down at Duke. I'll never forget that. And also a game we right at University Hall. We were getting killed by Carolina in the first half, and then all of a sudden, in the beginning of the second half, Harold Dean and myself and Junior Burrow, we all caught on fire around the same time, and we ended up beating a really talented team with Stackhouse and Wallace and McKinnis and all those guys at University Hall. So those are one of the best moments I had there.
Yeah, before we let you go, just one last question. I know you're down in the Lynchburg area. Just bring our fans and listeners up to date with, I know you're engaged in a lot of business activities down there. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I've been here for over 10 years now. And, you know, just the same thing, still in the transportation business and still in the health and wellness side of things and still looking to get into other things. So I keep my ear to the streets with all of that.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in Charlottesville at one of the games before long.
Okay.
Curtis, this is Frank Maloney, co-host. I want to ask you a question. I think most fans, when they think about you and your playing days, they also remember your sidekick, Norman Nolan. I was wondering if you had kept up with Norman, and what is he doing today? And that's just a thought I had.
Yeah, well, me and Norman are best friends. We talk just about every day, and even Norman's still playing. He's, as a matter of fact, right now he's in Iran playing.
Really?
And so we talked last night, as a matter of fact. But he's doing fine. He's winding up his pro career, and he's done extremely well over in Europe and in the other countries. So he's looking forward to getting it over with soon, but he's still going and still playing well. As a matter of fact, he hit 30 points and 15 rebounds just the other night.
Now, you did say Iran, right?
Yes, he's in Iran.
So, you know, he's not secretly in the special forces over there or anything, doing a little CIA work?
No, I don't think he could be secretive at 6'8 and about 330 pounds or
no,
whatever
he weighs. No, he certainly would not be difficult to be invisible, that's for sure.
That's right.
Well, Curtis, please give Norman air best and let him know that the hosts of Who's Talking were thinking about him. And I know their fan base, when Norman gets back stateside, we'd love to have him on the air and let everybody catch up with him as well.
Okay, that'd be great.
All right, Curtis Staples with us today. Curtis, thanks again, and fans will be back in a couple of moments following these messages.